Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Teal Town Live, Sharks and Pacific Division Preview. I am joined, of course, by my colleague, AJ Strong, and we are thrilled and honored to have Kevin Kurz, formerly of NBC Sports California, now with The Athletic. Kevin, how are you? Good, sir.
Good. Good to see you guys.
Yeah. How was your summer? I know you travel all over the place at that time.
It was all right. It was a little longer. Whenever August hits, it starts to get a little long, start to get a little antsy and ready to go again. So, those are the dog days of summer for us too, especially end of August. So excited for the season to start here.
Absolutely. So are we, with a week to go before the season begins. Go touch up right into the Sharks. They didn't do too much in the off season. I mean, they did re-up a number of their key veterans, including Burns, during last season. But they didn't do much free agent-wise except for, like, Bullock and Machinter. Is there reason behind that, or is there just trying to get the kids up from the Barracuda?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly the way they're selling it now is they want to give these young guys a shot. But, you know, I think they're sincere in that. I did tend to think something was going to happen more in the off season. I thought they were going to try to add at least another piece or two, especially offensively. And I was talking to an executive with another team, and he kind of said the same thing to me. He said, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Sharks roster. It never really did. So, we never know what goes on. Maybe Doug was trying to swing something big and it didn't happen. Maybe he's still in talks. But the other thing, too, I think everybody has to remember is it's such a long season, and it's easy to forget that this time of year. And the way the Sharks are set up, obviously they have all that cap space that they don't typically have. And if these young guys don't come up and take these jobs and have the sort of impact that everyone's hoping from the team side, they do have some time to go out and maybe reshape the roster a little bit. So we'll see how it works out. But obviously it's pretty evident right now that they're going to hope these guys like Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc, Marcus Sorensen, maybe even down the line to like Joakim Ryan and Tim Heath, these guys come up and are able to play right away and can fill those NHL spots.
Absolutely. AJ, did you have a question?
No, I'm echoing exactly what Kurz said. I mean, we saw guys last season, I mean, Sorensen take some big strides, but then you saw guys that you were counting on like Donskoy and Bodker take regressive steps. And I would imagine the Sharks are hoping for a lot out of those two guys specifically.
Yeah, and certainly they need more than from some of the guys that they had last year that they didn't get, like Donskoy, like Mikhail Bodker. So it's interesting because Pete DeBoer still has that line together, and that's really the line in training camp that he hasn't touched so far is Logan Couture, Mikhail Bodker, and Jonas Donskoy. He's left them together. Considering the point we are with just a week to go before the season starts, they're probably going to be together. And that was the line that in the off season, I remember Pete joking that he doodled it down on a cocktail napkin when they went out and signed Bodker. That was a line that he really hoped would gel, and it didn't happen because guys like Donskoy and Bodker just didn't have very good years. So looks like they're going to get another shot together here when the season starts. And obviously, as you know, I would call that the second line. You're going to need those guys, all three of them, to produce.
In a big way. And let's see what happens with Thornton's surgically repaired knee. And it's funny how guys seem to play well during a contract year. Kind of is for Thornton.
it's another – I don't know that the worry of the next contract is always on Thornton's mind. And I think it's pretty evident when you're trying to play through an MCL and an ACL and you're a pending unrestricted free agent. It's still remarkable to me that you tried playing through that that injury because it was so significant. But he's a guy, I really do think Thornton's going to have a better year than he did last year. I really think that the short summer and the World Cup and that ridiculous condensed schedule really took its toll on him. And, he's never a guy that likes to make excuses, but whenever I would bring up that condensed schedule to him, he would say the same thing over and over again. It's been a grind. It's been a grind. And, wasn't using that as an excuse, but I think if you read between the lines, it's easy to tell that it really did affect him. It was just too much hockey for a 37-year-old. So, assuming that knee holds up, and that's, you know, assume that's a big assumption probably that it's not going to affect him. But if it does, and he is fully healthy, I do think he can be better than he was last year, and the Sharks need him to be.
Well, and you've been at camp now. Has there anybody, one of those young guys that has stood out, whether it's been a Tim Heed or a Yoki Ryan or, you know, somebody, one of the other forwards for the CUDA?
Yeah, I think Joachim Ryan has been impressive so far. I thought he looked real comfortable with Brent Burns in the preseason game the other night. He's a guy that I think he could make a push for that seventh defense. Are you drinking a beer? I could have had a beer during this whole time.
Dude, I love me some Ballast Point. I can't get enough of it. We'll talk beers in the second segment.
Yeah. The guy for me that I really like and I think flies under the radar a little bit is Marcus Sorensen. I think he's kind of a forgotten guy a little bit, but this is a guy who's 25 years old. He's not a kid. I think he really took strides in the postseason last year. And, you know, from what we're told, he got even faster with, you know, they do these preseason tests usually the day before their first on-ice practice. And apparently Marcus Sorensen got a little bit faster than he was last year. And he's another guy, too. I was talking to a scout that I know, and he says the thing that impresses him most about Sorensen isn't his speed, but he's good away from the puck. He has a real strong hockey sense, and that's something coaches love. And that's something that I think a guy like Kevin LeBanc is still learning. But a guy like Sorensen, just because he has been around for so long and he is older, he understands the game a little bit more. So I think he's a lock. Him and Timo Meier are both locks to make the opening night roster. I think they'll both be in the lineup against the Flyers next Wednesday. So Marcus Sorensen's the guy that I'm going to keep an eye on, because I think there might be even more there than we've seen so far. I think there's a chance he could work himself up from the fourth line, you know, if things go his way.
Now, Dell seemed to have a pretty good year, and of course we know what Grosnick did with the CUDA, both of them having, I mean, pretty solid productive years. But Jones, and you mentioned that there was that kind of contracted compressed schedule, do you think Jones might see a little less ice time, or will it be about the same because there are more days off built in this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Sharks still have a fair amount of back-to-backs. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I think it's something.
I think it's 11.
Is it that few? I thought it was a little more than that. You might be right. I don't know. I might be thinking of 3 years ago for all I know. But obviously the schedule is a little bit more spaced out now than it was before. But, you know, Pete DeBoer, even going back to his New Jersey days, likes to ride his number one goalie. So I still would expect Martin Jones will get, you know, I think the last 2 years he's had 65 starts on the dot, correct? Maybe he'll get
felt like more last season.
But I would imagine it's going to be in the 60s. I would be surprised if it was otherwise.
Nice. Eric?
Yeah. Moving over to the rest of the division, how do the Sharks stack up against, you know, you have Edmonton that looks primed to take over Anaheim as the crown for the Pacific. Mm-hmm. Anaheim, of course, trying to stay afloat with everything. And then you have Calgary coming on. And of course, Arizona is slowly getting up there. Vegas now comes into the fold, and then of course Vancouver is struggling, but they've kind of pumped up their roster a little bit too.
Yeah, I think Vegas and Vancouver are well behind the other teams, and even Arizona I think is a dark horse team with, you know, adding Antti Raanta in the offseason, bulking up their blue line, getting Nicholas Hjalmarsson, Jason Demers now, who of course we all know. So, you know, I would look at Arizona as a dark horse team, but you know, the Sharks I think are still going to be right there. I wouldn't pick them to win the division. I think Edmonton is in the driver's seat for the division for obvious reasons. And I still think Anaheim, I would give them an edge on the Sharks too, because I think Anaheim, like the Sharks, has a handful of players like Corey Perry that are going to look to come back and have stronger years than they did last year. You know, to me, the Sharks, I think they're still a playoff team just because of their goaltender and because of their top six on the blue line. You know, the question will be, do they have enough scoring, and is the power play going to get going again? And those are both really hard to predict. So, you know, I think the Sharks are in the mix for a playoff spot. I think they'll get into the playoffs. I wouldn't consider them a Stanley Cup contender at this point because I think there are too many question marks up front for me. And also Joe Thornton coming off that injury is a huge question mark. But, yeah, I think they're a playoff team right now, but that's about as far as I would go.
Yeah, it's funny. Definitely bringing up that power play. And wasn't it last season we got almost halfway through the season and like the Sharks for some reason could not net 5 goals in a game? Like they just kept hitting four, just could not hit that fifth
That was a
goal.
little while, that happened a little while. So yeah, it was an ongoing problem. They never figured it out. I could never understand why they didn't try more with the power play than they did, kind of leaving the same five guys. I think at one point he took Marleau off for Joel Ward or something like that. But I was surprised that they never tried anything new with the power play. But now, they've got another coach on board too. They bring in Dave Barr. He has power play experience, so maybe they'll try something different. It looked like in practice yesterday that Mikael Boedker was going to be the guy that got a shot on that top unit. But that's just practice. We'll see if that's if that we'll see where they are in practice next week. But they needed to be better, obviously, than 25th in the league, no question.
Yeah,
That's
well, I
true.
mean, how many times did we see a lot of, well, how many games that the second unit seemed like it would get more looks, better chances, more opportunities?
Well, they didn't get enough out of the second unit either. I think they only got six
Yeah.
or seven goals out of that unit all season long. I remember Thomas Hertl talking about that at one point in like February or March, and he mentioned the number of goals that the second unit had, and it was, you didn't need three hands to count the number of goals they had. It was low. So, we'll see. Dylan DeMello's out there now, replacing Schlemko on the power play. Hurd will be out there, so we'll see. But I don't think Pete DeBoer is going to have the kind of patience he did with it last year when it never got going. I think if it's struggling early, you better throw them all in a blender and figure something out. But again, it looks like Bakker's going to get a shot on that top unit, and we'll see how he does there if that changes anything.
Well, for those people who don't know or live under a rock, you made a significant change yourself this off season. Would you like to tell everybody about it?
Yeah, well, I just moved to The Athletic from CSN or NBC, as I guess they're called now. It was great 6 years there at NBC, and I have a lot of friends there. I'm still going to have a lot of friends there when the season starts. Everything's good there. I think they might even use me on TV still from time to time. That's up to them, of course, but I still imagine I'm going to go on the same amount of road games. I've done between 25 and 30 road games for just about every year. I think it's going to stick around that number. But it'll be less of the mundane day-to-day details. If somebody gets hurt, you're not going to hear about it right away from me, or you're not going to get five paragraph posts about it. Game details. To me, game details, if you miss a game and you want to know what happened, you're just going to look at the highlights online somewhere. You don't need anybody to describe to you how a goal went down. You're just going to find it online. So we're going to do more in-depth, longer form type stories, where, I'll probably file between 5 and 6 stories a week instead of, 15 or 20, like I was doing some weeks at the other place.
And were you going to be using social media more or less at all, whether it's Twitter or
That
Periscoping or
probably won't
anything?
change a whole lot. Yeah, the tweet is the same. Yeah.
And from what I've read from both you and some of the other people, and just some of the reactions I've seen online, is that the and maybe that it's that paywall excuse or whatever you want to call it, that the comments are much more hockey centric and far less trolly.
Yeah, it's good dialogue in there for sure, which is encouraging.
And refreshing.
And we're encouraged to go in there, and I like having back and forths with fans about that sort of stuff. So we'll be replying in the comments pretty often, and I think the goal is to build a community in there too. Fans will get used to chatting with other fans, and hopefully it'll stay civil and polite, and you can have some constructive conversations in there.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you again for joining us and talking about the Sharks, and interested to see how the season progresses, and we look forward to reading your articles on The Athletic this year.
Yeah, thanks. I'll see you guys at the rink, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
See you, man.
Appreciate it.
We'll talk beer next time.
Sounds good. Awesome.
All right, guys. So that was the one and only Kevin Kurz, now from The Athletic, no longer NBCSN or CSN, or pick your, abbreviation here. So where are we going to start? Oh, it must be with the Anaheim Ducks. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. Anaheim Ducks were the division winner last year. They went home in the conference final against the Nashville Predators.
Boo-hoo. They went 46-23-13 for 105 points. Their key additions this year are, of course, Ryan Miller on goal. On goal, like it was on drums, on guitar. We have the no. So Ryan Miller coming in as Gibson's backup. That gives them a little bit of insurance. See LA Kings for that reference. We also have Dennis Rasmussen at forward, Steve Oleski, Derek Grant leaving, Shea Theodore, Nate Thompson, Clayton Stoner on defense, of course, selected by Las Vegas. Now, the key note here, too, that we also need to think about when you're discussing the Anaheim Ducks, of course, is the fact that both Vatanen, or as Rocket and I like to say, Vatanen, but Vatanen Kessler likely out for a good amount of the first part of this season. So, Eric,
yes.
What do you think about the Ducks this go around?
I think they are, even though they lost a bunch in the offseason in losing Kessler and Vatanen for a while, I still think they're right up top in the Pacific. I think they might go down to second because Edmonton's probably going to be that good. But, you have Gibson, and now you have a solid backup in Ryan Miller. I don't think it'll be a duo like years ago where we were planning for Nidamaki and Grice. But I think now they have a solid backup just in case Gibson gets hurt or is just playing like crap and goes from there. I think Anaheim's going to be in second.
Yeah, that's kind of where I have them in my scorecard as well. I have them penciled in a second. It's tough going with those guys. Literally, you could see an amazing season from somebody like Lindholm, or you could see an absolutely awful season from Bieksa. You don't know what you're going to get with those guys right now. Again, I mentioned the injuries. It comes down to, is Getzlaf and Perry going to have kind of rebound seasons because they weren't fantastic last year, and Silfverberg and Raquel. Those are the guys that it's floating on.
Oh, Silfverberg was great. Raquel had an unreal year last year.
You put those guys in it. Yeah, I think, it's one of those things. Well, you're just gonna have to keep putting them up there until you prove us wrong. So Anaheim, we both have them in our deal as number two.
Yep.
So we move on to the Yotes. Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
I mean the
Desert Dogs.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
While you take that sip, I believe Kevin Lacey might be joining us shortly.
Okay. As Rocket may as well. So.
Okay.
Arizona.
The Let's Desert see. Dogs.
Go. They finished the season in sixth place. 30 wins, 42 losses, 10 overtimes for a good 70 points. Their differential was horrific at minus 63, but they've made some significant changes starting at head coach with Rick Tocchet coming in. For the additions to the team, we have Derek Stepan coming in from the Rangers. Interesting little trade for those of you who didn't know. Shark for shark. Jason Demers comes in on defense from Florida and going out for him, of course, forward Jamie McGinn. We also got Antti Raanta coming in to solidify the goal spot after they shipped out Mark Smith. Nick Cousins coming in at the center position. Emerson Edom coming in on the right wing. You got a couple guys that could be interesting that are on the brink in Dylan Strome and Clayton Keller. On the outs, of course, the one and only Shane Doan after what felt like it almost felt like he should have had a patch on his jersey that said 50 because that's how long he was in the league for. But Shane Doan retires. Again, Jamie McGinn is shipped out. Mike Smith traded to Calgary. Radim Vrbata signs with Florida, another guy going to the FLA. You also saw Murphy, Bermistroff, and D'Angelo depart. So, Eric, what do you think about Arizona? Are they still going to suck it up this year?
They're going to be a little bit better. I like how
only in comparison to another team called Vegas. No, I'm kidding.
or Vancouver. I mean, Hjalmarsson's going to be nice help with Ekman-Larsson. I mean, Goligoski with Demers, perhaps. I mean, their defense is pretty solid. They got Antti Raanta as their go-to guy. It should be a good year. I just don't know if it's going to get them over the hump, but I say they'll finish in the fifth spot in the Pacific.
Yeah, boy, I'm not sure with those guys right now, but I'd say 5-6, mm-hmm. You know. Again, you never know how things are going to work with the new head coach. Sometimes it works great. Sometimes it just, you know, not everybody is Hitchcock and not everybody is Tortorella. So we'll see how that flies in Arizona. But there you go. And we move on to the Calgary Flames, who finished last season in fourth. 45 wins, 33 losses, 4 OTs, good for 94 points. This is a team that didn't make a whole lot of changes in the offseason, but they're very key changes. We see Mike Smith coming in earlier, once again, I mentioned with Arizona. So Mike Smith comes in a trade with Arizona for Chad Johnson. Leaving, of course, is the duo that was Chad Johnson and Brian Elliott. The Flames also bring in Travis Hamonic from the Islanders and Eddie Lack to essentially be the backup, but who knows if Mike Smith is going to have a Vezina-like run or mm-hmm. if he's, you know, if he falters. They do have a little bit of a safety net with Eddie Lack. Going out, of course, both those goalies, Derek Englund, that's pretty much it. I mean, just a couple of really, well, I mean, important pieces, but what do you, how do you have Calgary going? Because I'll tell you right now, I mean, I've been on that bandwagon for the last 3 years and eventually it's going to take me somewhere.
You know, I think they have a better goaltending with Mike Smith, although unfortunately he can't play the Sharks 82 games a year because he always seems to take us down really quick. They already have a good, solid defense. If Goodrow, Monahan, and company up front can bolster the offense even more so, they can make a run. I have them projected third in the division.
Third, yes, that's where I have them now too. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, we have someone in the chat named Jackal making some very odd predictions. I have Calgary right now as third, being the team that's gonna push San Jose out of the top three. You know, it seemed like for the last couple of years we kept on saying that the Cali teams are gonna make up those three top spots in the division, and now it's kind of like, God, I hope one California team makes in the top three spots pretty soon. So we move on to Edmonton. And, I mean, you essentially have the best player in the league. Do you really need to make that many changes? No, not really. So what do? You add Ryan Strom and Jussi Jokinen, ship out Jordan Eberle, buy out Poulier, let a couple other, like, kind of guys go. You know, Reinhardt was taken by Vegas, Pitlick signed with Dallas, Hendricks went UFA. So, I mean, not a whole big deal here. Of course, I have these guys winning the Pacific. I mean, am I wrong? you got Connor McDavid. He's Connor McBadass. And unless, you know, my only thing here is, who's their backup goalie? You know, like, God forbid. Well, at least God
Brassois.
Forbid. Yeah, exactly. Who? So,
well, I mean, look at it this way. I think Edmonton's looking to do the same thing that the Leafs are. They have that window where they can kind of spend a little bit more to see what they can get before their big money player has their contract kick in. That being said, Edmonton looked pretty solid in the 7-game series against Anaheim. They took care of us in our weaknesses in the first round. I mean, seriously, we were probably this close to seeing an Edmonton-Nashville conference final. I know some people are picking Edmonton to go to the cup. I think Kevin Lacy was one of them to go to the cup final. But that being said, I think at least they'll be the Pacific division winner in the Pacific.
Yeah, I mean, if Again, weird stuff can happen. We've seen it. If I remember correctly, there was a particularly really good goalie that went out first game of the season and never really came back in Jonathan Quick last year. And stranger things have happened. You can see the same thing happen with Talbot this year, and that could change things dramatically for Edmonton. Connor McDavid could suffer something ridiculous and go out for half a season. You don't know, but on paper, yeah, I got him in at one, and I would consider them potentially a favorite to play in the Western Conference Final to go to the Cup. So there you go with that one. We move on to your favorite team and mine, the Los Angeles Kings. Pretty some significant changes here, and that of course starts in the front office and behind the bench. Of course, longtime GM and former Shark Dean Lombardi is shown the exit, along with former Sharks coach Daryl Sutter, and they bring in Rob Blake, again former Shark, ha ha, and John Stevens, former assistant coach for LA, as the new head coach. So clearly, dude who knows the players knows the system. Additions for them is Mike Camilleri at forward, Darcy Kemper at goal. And remember, Darcy, he might be okay or decent, but we're also talking about a team who literally, like a week or so ago, held a deal of, "Would you like to be our backup goalie? Come contact us." They also added Christian Poline.
Hey, they're having that emergency goalie contest,
That's what I'm
so
saying. It's like, so you think you can be a goalie competition? So, leaving, heading for the exit is Braden McNabb, who was selected by Vegas. And of course, the man that Hockey Jerk refers to as Papa, Jerome Iginla, who does remain unsigned to this day. Matt Green got bought out on defense. Of course, Ben Bishop shipped out. And Devin Setoguchi, former Shark, was waived by the Kings late last season. So, a couple of. I don't know that I would call these big things because it's like they still have Kopitar. They still have Quick. They still, I don't know. I think they made a couple of small tweaks, but they didn't try to, reinvent the wheel.
Right, and I'm with you on that. I'm waiting for the show me something, and yeah, they just missed out on the playoffs last year, but they were in it through the final week. But I'm just not sure on LA. I mean, them and Arizona could flip flop, but at the moment, I'm picking them to be number six in the division.
Yeah, I have them kind of like battling with Arizona. Oh, and I did neglect to mention it. Los Angeles finished fifth last season, 39 wins, 35 losses, 8 OTs for 86 points. I've been driving the LA is going down slowly but surely. I've been riding on that train for a while. I might have called it a year too soon, but yeah, I think they're gonna start becoming a little bit mediocre. They're starting to age out, and I don't see too many guys coming in that's gonna take those spots. And it all runs through Kopitar. So I'd say I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna go. Know, if I had to bet, I think I'm gonna go sixth. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss between Arizona because I think Arizona has improved with what they've done.
Yeah, you could almost see it like
But you
whoever
can
wins
go back and
that.
forth.
Yeah, it's almost like whoever wins that series between each other, that
Yeah,
could be like
pretty
the
much.
winner, And now we move on to, did someone say?
Oh. They're Vancouver Canucks, the last place team in the Pacific Division, and I'm still John Shorthouse
Oh my Lord. All right.
on our new radio station up in Vancouver.
So Vancouver finished seventh, as we all know. 30 wins, 43 losses, 9 OTs for a point total of 69.
Pick 69.
It's hilarious. They had a goal differential of minus 61. Still not worse than the Pacific. Arizona was worse at minus 63. But here's a team that has made some wholesale changes. Of course, it's starting behind the bench. Willie Desjardins shown the door on April 10th. I mean, literally the last day of the season, replaced by Travis Green. Coming in, we have Sam Gagner, Anders Nilsson, Mike Delzato, two guys that I'm going to butcher their names, Thomas Vanek, and
That's true.
Elias Pettersson. Okay, so Alexander Burmistrov? Am I saying that correctly?
No, you said it right.
Holy shit. Okay, here's the guy that I'm really going to screw up. Patrick. I'm not even going to try, dude. Why are Sierk? We're sick.
Spell it for me, please. Oh my God.
Wierciocioch. Sorry, man.
Weerkek?
Sure, Weerkuk.
Okay.
Okay. Ball Kurs. There you go.
Oh, curse. Yeah, there you go. Oh,
Weerkoch.
jeez.
Weerkoch. That's what Jerk is saying. Whatever. Anyway, you know what? How good is he if I don't know how to pronounce his name? Anyway, leaving. Ryan Miller, of course, signing with Anaheim. Luca Spezza, selected by Vegas. Jeez, what's this guy's? You know, I'm just not in the mood to do hockey pronunciation yet. Nikita Tiramikin, is that what it is?
No, but sure.
Okay, nobody cares. He signed with the KHL, as did Philip Larkin.
Oh, Trampkin.
Well, that looks nothing like what
Nikita
you just
Trampkin.
said.
That would true because he was also
Okay,
left.
I must have copied and pasted that name incorrectly or something.
Oh my
Anyway,
gosh.
they
Anyways.
also have a couple. Now here's the thing with the Canucks. Trampkin, there you go. So they have a couple interesting guys though on the brink in Jake Virtanen. I mean Virtanen,
Vertanen.
Virtanen. And then there's this little good-looking kid who's like literally too good-looking for his own good and spends a little too much time picking up on the ladies. But this guy named Nikolai Goldobin, thinking that he might get a crack. And the kid that I'm really excited about, of course, is Brock Boeser. Am I saying that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So see, I'm getting
This
there.
is what happens when you listen to TSN 1044 for all their stuff, so.
Well, a little bit of that. Well, no, for me, it's also listening to NHL on Sirius. So anyway, I mean, Vancouver, it's just so funny. And Jerk now saying Besser. Thought it was Boeser, but
That's your
Besser. Sure,
Brock
Besser.
Besser
You
from
know what? Let
Minnesota.
me just put it this way. By the end of this season, everybody's going to know that kid's name.
Yeah,
That
he
guy
will.
is,
That
he's,
guy's gonna look good. It looks
yeah.
really promising.
And you know what? And what's only going to make him look better is the fact that he's going to be like next to the Sedins. It's just going to make him look even better. But I mean, Vancouver, despite all of these massive changes that they've made, you know what? I still got him finishing seventh. Like I still like I think that they could be interesting and like they might shock somebody and finish like almost be tasting a wild card spot. But I'm like, this is Vancouver
Yeah,
though. It's
but
Vancouver though.
yeah, I'm still iffy on their net minding. Is Jacob Markstrom their is going to be their number one? Can he handle number one minutes? I think seventh is the thing. They could be eighth. Let's.
Yeah, that is the funny part. Can you imagine? boy, that it makes you wonder. They might riot again. If Vegas were to finish ahead of them in the Pacific Division, if they were to really finish eighth in the Pacific, right now I've got them as seventh.
All
Yeah,
right.
what do you got them?
I have him seventh. I have him
Okay,
seventh.
all right. Well, then there you go. That's just not up on the Canucks anymore, man. Sorry, guys, got a
How
little
dare
jealous
you? Where's the Carson
there.
Price for you?
There you go. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, my God. And now we have more messages coming in. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, no,
Oh,
we just have one
evidently.
more team.
Well, I know, but it was still going to be. I was still going to try to at least pop somebody in here. Of course, it only. You know what only works is if you actually send that person the link. Then you can, like, actually bring them on. Other than that, you got nothing. So, Vegas.
They previously didn't have
Oh,
a
God.
team,
Yeah,
nor a club, or players, or a team name. They were just
they
placeholders.
so they finished the season last year at 0-0-0, good for 0 points. Yes, because they didn't exist. And so additions for them is everybody, and subtractions is everybody. I mean, of course, everyone, but some key names in, obviously getting Marc-Andre Fleury out of Pittsburgh, getting James Neal from Nashville, getting David Perron from St. Louis. Although they did make some acquisitions and then like immediately move them, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, David Schlemko, Mark Methot, Emelin, Kruger. So, I mean, they got some value for those. I mean, look at Methot traded to Dallas for a second, and Dylan Ferguson. Emelin goes to Nashville for a third. So they got some value for those guys. But it takes a little while for, it takes a while to bake the souffle. And so I got Vegas finishing last in the division.
We'll defer to the newest member, kind of a segue. Talking about the newest team, we'll talk to the newest member joining us really quick, Mr. Lacey. Let's talk shortly about the Vegas Golden Knights, and then we can get your predictions in a moment.
You mean the team that is using a recorded version of the Sharks goal horn this season?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. Hi, I'm at Kevin Lacey 22 on Twitter and most social media. So thanks for having me, guys. The Vegas Golden Knights, they're going to have some tough times in the division, which I do think the Pacific Division's rather weak compared to the other three. But with that said, Vegas is still going to be down near the standings. I have them second to last, for a lot of the reasons that AJ mentioned about, it takes time for teams to gel. And Gerard Gallant is a fantastic coach. He won Coach of the Year just 2 years ago, Florida. And I
Wait, what did
still
I mention?
think they're going to be competitive, but they're still going to have a tough time. You're looking at the two Canadian teams up in Alberta. And of course, Anaheim is stacked. San Jose will be good, and LA is going to be all right. Arizona's improved, so it's hard for them to establish themselves as a top flight team right out the back in expansion. But they'll at least compete every night, and so far in the preseason, they've shown exactly the opposite of what we thought, which was they can score goals. Not sure if they can consistently score it over the long term, but here in the preseason, they're scoring a lot of goals. So.
Well, that's the thing that I want to talk about. You know what? I wish I had the Golden Knights schedule in front of me right now, but the ones I want to see are those games in December, January, February, games against Minnesota or Detroit or Columbus or Boston or just any team that's coming from a city that has a miserable winter that wants to go. I know. Let's go to Vegas and watch Minnesota play there, and we can gamble and have 80-degree weather, you know?
That's a great tank. I think I need to double check, but I think their very first home game is against Minnesota. So that's one off the bat. I need to double check that. But
No,
that's a
I'm
great.
talking when it's abhorrent weather in the north.
No, yeah, it's a good call.
We're actually getting something in the chat saying that. We should probably boot Kevin off because he did not come on with the turtleneck.
Dude, I just got here from work. I got out as fast as I can, and it's 82 degrees in my hat in my house.
In your
So,
hat. Oh man, too funny.
so there's a swear jar, and then there's a non-turtleneck jar for Kevin Lacey. So we're at four for the
Hey,
year, folks.
I did pick up a
I know you're.
turtleneck, folks. Much many thanks to Puck Guy for the lead, the eBay lead, and I do
Oh,
have an authentic Sharks teal turtleneck.
I know.
Excellent.
So,
Well, what's your predictions for the rest of the division? How do you see it playing out
okay,
on your
so
end?
from top to bottom, we'll go from bottom to top actually. So I have Vancouver last, and Vegas would be seventh. Then
Now,
I've
why
got.
is that? Because Vancouver made a lot of significant changes, including head coach, and they still do have some talent. They got Besser. They have who was the other cat? Oh, Bo Horvat, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's funny because Vancouver is kind of interesting to watch here in the preseason so far, because when you look at their roster, it's not really that bad. And like last season was bad. They
And
have
that's what I'm saying. They have some pieces.
yeah. I actually think defensively they're okay. They have a couple of kids that have come overseas for this season that I think will make their roster. And I think defensively they're going to be fine, but the goaltending, I really have a hard time believing that goaltending is better than average. Mm-hmm. And then their forward depth outside of their top line. And I think Brock Besser is going to be the Calder winner this season. I really believe in that kid.
Well, see, I think Gen X laughing at me on the chat saying Vancouver has talent. And I'm going, dude, Besser,
yeah, they do.
Hello.
Their top six is all right. Or their top line is great with Horvat. And Besser's there. They have some pieces. But I think those bottom six on that team, the bottom six combined with goaltending, and even if their defense holds up, which I think their D's okay. I don't know. I still see a lot of goals getting let in when the top six isn't on the ice. So yeah, well, I have Vancouver last.
Delzato's got a lot of, wear on the tires. Berchi just seems to be a guy who just has not taken the next step for them. Hey, you know what? Listen to TSN 1040, guys, if you want to learn more about the Canucks.
Well, and you know what? If you're Vancouver, though, if you're a Vancouver fan, you should hope that your team is going to be last, because you do need another high-end pick here coming up, especially after Vancouver didn't even win a lottery pick this year.
Gosh.
So that's who you got last. Who you got in the seventh?
I've got Vegas as seventh. Sixth, I've got L.A. And I have kind of a flip-flop between the Coyotes and L.A.
Yep, we were same here with us. Go ahead.
Okay, my neighbor's dog needs to shut up. so
your neighbor
right now, better? I have L.A. at six. I had Arizona, believe it or not, until the Demers trade. I think Demers really rounds out their defense nicely. Mm-hmm. He's not an all-world defenseman. In fact, I thought last year around this time I was saying, what the hell is Florida doing signing Jason Demers? But for some reason, I look at how their D is shaped. I think Demers is actually a great fit in Arizona. I just worry about them being too young right now without a leader like Shane Doan to set the bar for them. So I've still got them above LA because I think LA is still too much in a transition, but it's back and forth, fifth, sixth. Sharks, I have fourth. Now you're going to throw me off the show for this season when I say the Sharks won't make the playoffs.
All right, hit that eject button.
No. When I hear something like that, I go, this is an opportunity to make money. We need to place a wager.
I have the Sharks at ninth in the conference.
This is a money making opportunity.
I believe the Central is too strong. I think the Central will carry five teams to the playoffs this year, and because of that, I don't see the Sharks being better than Edmonton or Calgary, who I have two and three respectively. And I definitely don't have them above Anaheim, who I have taking the division this lead. So the Sharks there default basically to fourth in the division. And if five teams are making it in the Central, that means the Sharks are getting ninth.
Yeah. It's a tough part.
I'm going to go four. I think that DeBoer is going to be quicker on the trigger this year if the power play isn't working. I think we're going to see him not consider that. Okay, it's not working. Flip it up now. Let's not wait on this for however long. I think we're going to see more youth for the season. It wouldn't surprise me if Ward is healthy scratched for 15 games or so. I think there's going to be a younger guy who plays them out. It wouldn't surprise me if DeMello doesn't maybe. I mean, I have high hope for DeMello, but you can't. If Heed or Ryan are setting the CUDA on fire, you're going to have to bring that one of them up at least to give them a look.
So, one of those two between Heed and Ryan will make the team.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm just saying that you're going to have to bring them in and give them a look if
they're, for ice time. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just going to have to see what they can give you. And because, if they go through a little stretch that that they're going to try to screw with the combination to try to figure out how to open the safe. So I like that. I think I'm really interested. I know it's just a week away, kids, but I'm really interested to see, because we talked about it before, is that DeBoer loves his pairs. You're going to have Thornton and Pavelski as a top pair. And the second pair is going to be Couture and Donskoy, with likely Bodker over there. And then your third pair is going to be Hurdle and Meyer. And your fourth pair is going to be Tierney and Sorensen. And it's kind of like these other pieces, whether it's LeBanc, whether it's Carlson, whether it's Hansen, whether it's Ward, I think are going to get kind of, you know, like him
intertwined.
Trying to put a puzzle together to try to figure out which goes best with which. So, I mean, opening night, who do you got up there with the Joes? I mean, is it Carlson? Is it LeBanc? Is it Meyer? Is it, you know, I mean, insert name here. Is it Hansen?
You know? It could be anybody. I mean, it could be LeBanc. It could be Hansen. I mean,
so I would like to see it be a guy like Sorensen. The problem seems to be whenever the Sharks, except for maybe Nils Ekman, whenever the Sharks have put a speedy winger on Thornton's line, that speed has been negated and rendered pointless by Joe Thornton always wanting to slow the game down. And that's why Pavelski is such a perfect complement for Thornton, is the fact that Pavelski is his skating has definitely improved since he joined the league, but he's still not the fastest player on earth. He can keep the tempo that Thornton likes to set. And I think that's another reason why Bodker doesn't work with Thornton. Although, again, if the Joes increase their tempo, I think a speedy winger would be the perfect balance for those two. But it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, I almost wouldn't have a problem with seeing, like, Tierney centering Hansen and Ward just to keep their older guys, obviously except for Tierney, but, yeah, the, you know, older wings, maybe if you give them a little bit less ice time, it's the, you know, kind of do more with less type of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And Hansen's even only, I think he's 29, but still, at this point, we're now reaching this NHL era where 30 is too old.
Like, yeah, running backs in the NFL, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I've also noticed when you see some of the pictures from camp and everything is that it looks like a lot of these guys have really, like, made the commitment. I mean, Hurdle looks just yoked right now. LeBanc has, like, put on 8 pounds of muscle. Sorensen's faster than he was last year. So, I mean, guys seem already committed. I mean, and Hurdle, not the slowest guy. I mean, it feels like Hurdle is probably maybe a little bit faster than Couture. He's definitely got to be faster than Thornton. I mean, nothing against Thornton, but I mean, maybe you put a speedy line together where it's Hurdle centering Bodker and Sorensen. I mean, that speed kills.
Yeah. And Hurdle benefits to no end of having an off season that he could actually, you know, do something other than rehab.
Right. And holy crap, you look at his Instagram, that dude's been all over.
Yeah, I think this year is the year for Hurdle to make or break. So.
Nice.
All right. With that, we shall wrap it up. So,
Hold on. We got to cut some housekeeping.
We have a trade to announce.
No, what the hell we do. So, again, we want to thank Kevin Kurz for coming on, of course, now with The Athletic. You can find his writings on The Athletic or find him on Twitter at KKurzNHL. I believe he is also on the Instagram if you'd like to follow that. As always, do us a favor. Subscribe wherever the hell it is. It's been so long, I forget where they put. They might have put the button right up there right now. But, yeah, help us out. We have some goals that we're trying to reach this season. So I think we're at about 1906 on the Twitter machine, which, of course, we'd love to hit to 2000 before the end of the year, if not sooner. And we have some other stuff. We have an interview with Brody Brazil that was actually recorded last night, but should be posted tomorrow with the Pucknologists. And nice. We've got a pretty decent interview in the just keep an eye on your Twitter feed on Monday evening, Tuesday morning. You might see something kind of cool up there. I don't want to divulge everything, but just saying.
It'll be very interesting.
In other words, it's not me.
No.
No, it's not Lacey. It's actually Monday afternoon. We're interviewing Lacey's turtleneck by itself.
Whoa!
Oh, God.
Does he sound like Shorthouse since he's a turtleneck?
No, he...
Nope.
Oh, nope. He sounds like Batman.
Oh. Yeah, it's way doing it.
All right, for
we have a new neck to announce.
Oh, what the hell? All right, let's get out of here. For AJ Strong, for Kevin Lacey, for Rocket, Gentry, Landy, everybody, Jerk, everybody at TealTownUSA.com, thank you for watching us. We will see you at the tank, and we'll see you online everywhere. Have a great one.